Well, I am interested on and to see how this this all comes out tonight, because there is, I actually got the message the other day. It just kind of all came to me, and so I wasn't even working on the message per se today. There was just some other things that I was into, but I was on a kind of a path of discovery, amen. And I just love that. You know, one of the things that I love about the Lord is that He'll, you know, I've been finding the truth of if you seek Him, you'll find, amen. And, you know, I want to encourage you along those lines that with God, you know, we don't have to be in a hurry to get there, but we should be continually seeking, amen? We don't want to get discouraged either. You know, sometimes you get discouraged because it's not happening fast enough or you're not learning fast enough. One of the things I learned about God is that He'll give us what we need when we need it. And if we seek Him for more, He'll certainly do that, amen? You know, I was thinking about, academic type educational book today on some things. It's a really interesting book that I was reading, but at any rate, there's a lot to chew on. Amen. And as I'm chewing on it, one of the things part of it was comparing, you know, science and religion and stuff like that, and how these things actually don't work opposite of each other, but they really will work together. As I was studying these things, I started getting this revelation of things that I never realized before, and it's really neat. You know, science and religion are very similar in this that, you know, and scientists know it, and religious people know it, but often they don't both know it together. And the thing is, what I'm talking about is this idea of progressive revelation or wisdom, you know, things that you get the more that you study, the more that you seek. And really that scripture was coming to life to me where Jesus said, seek and you'll find, amen. And I realized that, you know, there's a lot of things, you know, what makes gold valuable is that it's not laying all over the ground. That you got to go find it, amen. But we know that gold, there's a lot of gold in the ground somewhere, where all over the place there's gold, but there's a lot of it. But if you took all the gold that was in the earth and laid it on top of the earth, I have to imagine that the value of gold would probably drop, and that'd be because it would be so common. But you know, the same thing is with the things of God or the deep knowledge. You know, scientists, they spend years sometimes, they think they know one thing, and they hypothesize theories, and they have ideas of what might be or what might happen. And as they spend time in search of these things and in pursuit of these things, they'll discover the truths. But it takes them a long time. And sometimes one of the things that they find is that what they thought they knew, they didn't. And of course, most scientists will agree with that. But the Bible is much the same way. The truths of the Lord are the same way. When we come in, we don't necessarily know everything. Even if we've been in some religion for years and years and years, if they don't preach or really don't dig deep for the gold, then you're just not going to know the gold, and you don't have the gold. But see, this is the thing that excites me about the Lord, is there's always more to get. And if we just stay in that place where we're hungry, keep searching for it, amen, they'll keep providing it. You know, one time when I went to a Chinese buffet and I got crab legs. Well, that's what I went for, was crab legs. And they only had a couple crab legs out. Well, that wasn't any good to me, because that's what I wanted, was all you can eat crab legs. That's what I was there for. And so I said something to the lady. I said, I'm going to want some more of these, because there's not enough out here. And she said, okay. So they went back and started making some more and brought them out. And I said, well, we're going to need more than that. Amen. And see, I was hungry for it. I wanted it. And I stay there and I said, by God, I'm going to sit here until I get more, because that's what I came for. I didn't come for the beans. Yeah. Amen. I didn't come for the pork fried rice. I came for the all-you-can-eat crab legs, amen? And so that's what I was after, and that's what I get. And you see, if you're persistent, well, they brought some more out, amen? And if you're persistent in things, and the things with God, He'll keep feeding you and keep feeding you and keep feeding you. So don't get discouraged. Just stir yourself up and say, you know what? There's more to God to know, and by God, I want to know it. Amen. Well, that's all free and no charge, amen? Tonight's message is called Time Well Spent. Glory to God. And I'm going to start in some scriptures. I actually didn't tell you this, but the first set of scriptures here in Hebrews, I want you to pull those all up, because this isn't really part of the message, but I wanted to explain something else to you. Praise the Lord. You see, sometimes when you get into stuff, it just opens a floodgate of things. Amen. I read half a book today. I mean, I'm just telling you, and I'm not a reader. I just got into it and started, you know, wanting more and more and more. Praise the Lord. See then, it says here in Hebrews 12:25, and we're going to read through verse 29. It says, see that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on the earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven. And they're talking about, it's a reference to Moses, and he was the one that spoke on the earth. I was saying, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven. Go on to verse 26. I'm just going to read it here because it's easier for me. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shall not only, I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now this yet once more indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken, as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. And you might wonder why did I bring this scripture up. The reason is, and this wasn't originally intended to be part of the message, and it doesn't necessarily flow with it, but there was something important I believe that the Lord wanted me to point out. You know, I've been talking about how I believe that a lot of the things that are going on are purposeful, and God is allowing them to happen because he's trying to shake things up a little bit. Amen? I don't think a little bit. I actually think a lot. I think God is shaking a lot of things. But notice here it says that the once more indicates a removal of the things that are being shaken. You know, I believe that God has shaken Christianity. I believe he's shaken our faith. I think the purpose for which God is doing so is to take away the things that don't produce fruit. Amen? And to ensure that the things that do produce fruit remain. So God is shaking the earth right now. And I believe that we're going to be seeing more of this. But it's very important that we stay in a place of obedience. Amen. As this shaking happens, as we see these things happening, it's very important that we rely on the grace that God has given us. Amen. And that we serve him acceptably and reverently with godly fear. You know, there's so many people that are reverencing the things of God. You know, we talked about this before with prophets that are out there prophesying whatever they want to prophesy, what's on their heart, and they don't wait for God to move them, but they're ready to give out anybody or to say whatever. And it's proven these things are proving to be false. I think there's going to be a shaking of those things. And this is why we need to be careful. This is why we need to be accurate. We need to be people who desire truth. Amen. And part of desiring truth is willing to say that I may not have known the truth. Amen. Now, one of the things that I've been learning is, you know, I've been spending some time, as you know, I've been spending a lot of time going back through doctrines that I was raised on and that I was taught, that I've believed. And I've been going back through and I've been putting them to the test. I think every once in a while it's good to do that. What I'm finding is the things that are solid aren't falling away. But the things that aren't solid roll to the side. And really, I would say a bulk of the things that have been taught to me and the bulk of the things that I've taught, they're not rolling away, that they're staying. But, you know, there is a good part of being accurate in those things. So we need to be people who desire that. That should be the desire of our heart, the yearning of our heart at all times, regardless of whether it's what we want to hear or not. Amen. Now, this is a thing, this is a concept that a lot of people have a hard time with, because a lot of people, if they are not hearing what they want to hear, glory to God, then they, I wish I had a quote written down, but there was a quote, in this book today that I was reading. He was talking about the truth of the Lord and the truth of the Word, and he was talking about how we need to hold to the truth of the Word, basically, regardless of how we interpret it. Yeah. Like, we need to stick to what it says regardless of how we interpret it. Or its interpretation has, or it, what it actually says needs to mean more to us than its interpretation. Amen? Praise the Lord. And so as we go forward, I think we're going to see these things more and more. But you will note that there's been kind of a more seriousness in some of the things that we've been teaching. And we're going to continue on those things. Amen? Praise the Lord. You know, as I was seeking the Lord when this message came to me, and this is why it came to me. Did I tell you the name, Time Well Spent? Yeah. As I was seeking the Lord, you know, I was praying to Him, and I was just pleading with the Lord. I was just, you know, I told you that my grandfather had passed last Wednesday, and I had gotten up early. I believe it was on Saturday, really early in the morning, and I was praying and seeking God. And, you know, I was crying out to the Lord, and I started saying these things. I started saying, help me to love like Jesus. Yeah. And I said, help me to be compassionate like Jesus. This was just in my prayer time. Help me to be bold like Jesus. Help me to both care and not care like Jesus. And as I said these things, all of a sudden I heard in my spirit, spend more time with me and I'll make you more like Jesus. Glory to God. And it was real simple direction. It was a real simple answer. But how many know that it was a good answer? Yeah. Amen. You know, if we want to be like Jesus, we have to spend time with Him. If we want to be like the Lord, we have to spend time in His presence. Now, what do I mean spending time in His presence? I mean, we have to spend time in the Word. We have to spend time in prayer. We have to spend time in church. And it doesn't mean that we have to put on some kind of, you know, I'm really not a big fan of, I'm going to chalk off so many hours today, or I'm going to chalk off so many things. Because one of the things I know about relationships, a little bit about relationships. I have a great relationship with my wife. Amen. So I know something about relationships. And one of the things I know about relationships is if I just schedule time with my wife and be like, okay, I'm going to give you this much time and that's what I'm going to give you. How many know that that doesn't build a good relationship? What do I have to do? It doesn't build a good relationship to just say, okay, we're going to talk for this long and then that's all it's going to be. Or I want to know this much about you, but I'm only going to spend this much time to do it. You know, my heart is, because I love my wife, my heart is to spend time with her. And so if I get a chance, I do it. Sometimes I make a chance, make a time when we're busy or something like that. But the same thing is with the Lord. If we want to have a good relationship with the Lord, it's not a matter of, okay, have I prayed enough today, or have I spent enough time in the Word today, or have I done this or have I done that? None of that builds relationship with God. All of that fulfills a religious duty, and all that does is breed more religious duty. That's not relational. God wants us to be relational, or to have a relationship with Him. He wants us to spend time with Him because we enjoy it, and He wants it to be enjoyable for us. How many know that even if you're enjoying talking to someone, say I'm talking to my wife and I'm really having a good conversation with her and I'm really enjoying my conversation with her, but then my wife is sitting there and she's like watching her, whoops, praise God. She's watching her watch and she's, you know, looking at the clock and she's distracted by things and she doesn't really care, you know, and she's just like, oh, I would wish he would really hurry up and stuff like that. How many know that that's not going to be very enjoyable for me? Yeah. Amen. Well, do you think that God wants us doing that with Him?
No.
You know, I remember that when I first started, you know, I know like there's people that preach, you know, about spending at least a certain amount of time with God and stuff. And the principle of it is what matters. It's not, we have to understand there is nothing, absolutely nothing in Scripture that gives us a specific amount of time to spend with God. Nothing. Other than there's Scripture that says, like, pray always. But as far as anything else, there's no specific amount of time allotted that God says, this is what I want you to do. This is how you're going to have a relationship with me. Praise the Lord. But the principle of why people talk that way or preach that way is because they're trying to call people up higher. And so, you know, we even hear it in our circles. Like, Pastor Michael has preached about it. And praise the Lord for preaching of, you know, to take us up higher. I know that the Lord keeps directing him to get my people to pray more. And so that's what his heart is in doing those things. But the heart behind it is not have a scheduled day with the Lord, but have a relationship with him. Amen. Praise the Lord. Spend more time with me and I'll make you more like Jesus. What does that mean? Just endeavor to spend time with God. If you'll love God, if you'll just put your heart on Him and just seek Him, He will start showing you how to be a better you. He'll make you more like Jesus. Amen? People have this idea, as I have as well, where, you know, when we pray to the Lord, we go to Him and we start saying, you know, like, Lord, help me to do this. And He says, but there's something you have to do. That's essentially what He was telling me. I can't just wish you to be more like me. You have to want to be more like me. Amen? Glory to God. And so that's one of the first principles we want to get into here. If you are a Christian who does not know God, you will be a Christian who is ineffective at living. Let me say that again. If you are a Christian who does not know God, you will be a Christian who is ineffective at living. I am not talking about, you know, somebody can, I did this once. I was like, I sat down and I was like, okay, I'm praying the Spirit for, I'm gonna pray for as long as I possibly can. I did this one time and I prayed for 3 hours straight. That was the longest I've ever prayed in the Spirit, 3 hours straight. And at the end of it, I was absolutely miserable. I was miserable all the way through it. I wasn't blessed by it. I was just putting in the time. 3 hours straight. It was in the storefront up there. I just stayed there for three, locked the door for 3 hours. I sat there praying in the Spirit. And you know what? God didn't speak to me. I didn't hear anything. But you know, after I prayed, I was going away kind of a little bit, you know, down a little bit, just not happy about things. And as I was going away, I did hear one thing. It was like, why don't you just trust me? Why don't you just trust me? Why don't you just do what you know what I've asked you to do? Why don't you just spend time with me? How do you build trust with somebody? Yeah. You get to know them. Amen. You're not going to get to know God by doing some methodical thing. You know, people try to know God that way. That's how we get religion. Amen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Glory to God. Well, go ahead and turn with me to Galatians 5. My heart in building a church, of course, first and foremost, is to build a church that God wants, is to build the kind of church that God wants me to build. But my heart in doing this, my heart in being before people, is to be, is to change lives. We're not going to change lives if we have some kind of prescribed ideas of what God, you know, we make our check boxes or whatever, and we put God in this box. How is God ever going to move in that? How is He going to move on us in that? He can't do it. Amen. So in Galatians 5 and verse 16, it says here, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Hallelujah. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, when we say Spirit, of course, a lot of people, you know, if you're not very knowledgeable in spiritual things or whatever, if you hear the word Spirit, you're going to automatically think of something spiritual, like a, you know, like a ghost or something like that. And so it automatically has kind of this weird, ooh, you know, kind of feeling to it. But, you know, there's more practicality to the word than what we really realize. You know, I love the saying, I don't like the saying, you know, I've heard this in many circles, but I've heard the saying that somebody is too spiritual to be any earthly good. This is a saying I have a hard problem with, because, and I'll tell you why. Because the most spiritual person that we ever see in Scripture is who?
Jesus.
All right, that wasn't hard to answer, was it? But He did the most earthly good of any man in history. He dealt with people right here. Right, he went, like, if Jesus didn't go around, woo, like a spirit, He didn't go around floating around, you know, being like, you know, and you know what I'm saying? And He certainly had good services, amen? And I'm not taking away from that. There's times where the presence of the Lord will be so strong that we can't stand, and there's nothing wrong with that. But, you know, there's a practical side of the Lord, and that's exactly what God was showing us. There's a reason Jesus came as a man. He came in human form because He wanted to show us how to live as humans, how to be spiritual while we're being humans. Do you realize when you're born again, God has the ability, if He wanted to turn you into your glorified body? You know, we'll all get a glorified body someday that won't be corrupted, that won't fade away. God had the ability. He has the ability. How do we know he has the ability? Well, if he has the ability to change us into it someday, then he probably has the ability to do it today. I'm just guessing, but it would make sense if my uneducated mind. And so we see that if God could do it, he could do it, but he didn't do it. What does he do? He commands us to live differently within the confines of the Spirit. And so we find that being spiritual isn't necessarily not being natural, but it is living differently. He says, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If we can choose to do this, then walking in the Spirit must, at least in part, be a natural process. And if we can't choose to do it, he would have never told us, walk in the Spirit. Because if you can't walk in the Spirit naturally, then what good would it do for someone to tell you to do that? If I tell you, I want you to go get a step back and do a running jump and leap over this building, you all know that it ain't going to happen. Most of you probably won't try. Those of you who would try, we're going to have a conversation with. Amen. Glory to God. So we understand that God wouldn't direct us any more than we would direct someone else. God, see, there's more. Folks, we have to understand this. There is more practicality to Scripture than what we realize. Being in the Spirit, again, there's, there'll be emotions. There will be times of ecstasy or being ecstatic or something like that. I fully believe that. But there is in life anyways, isn't there? Man, have you ever bitten into a good donut? A cream-filled donut, man. I'm telling you what, I go places when I bite into a good donut. You know what I'm saying? Every time. And I love talking about donuts because I don't eat them barely ever. But that's why I love talking about them, because then I can at least remember how they taste. Amen? But man, a nice cream-filled donut. I'm not talking that Bavarian cream. I'm talking about the angel cream. Amen? When you bite into an angel cream donut, it transport you. We're going to have to do this one of these nights. We'll probably have to have a donut Tuesday night. Yeah, mighty fine. Oh, man. Glory to God. But we'll have these experiences, right? We'll definitely have experiences in life. But this is not, by and large, not how you live. You don't go through life every day with that feeling on purpose. Why? Because you'd have a heart attack if you did. You can't be, you can be in joy and not be laughing hysterically. Now, laughing hysterical is a thing. I think it's a godly thing. I think it's something that we all probably have experienced. But can you imagine? There's actually a disease that people have where they can't stop laughing. Yeah, it's some kind of brain thing. And I'm just telling you right now, they're not blessed by it. See, you wouldn't be blessed if you were just going around laughing hysterically all the time. There is a practical side of living, and there's a practical side of the Spirit. You notice that God took his Spirit and he put it on the inside of earthen vessels. He put it on the inside of our flesh. Amen? Glory to God. Walking in the Spirit is as much a choice as walking in love is. See, what we do is we look at the Word. One time I was taught to look at the Word as like a mirror. Amen? The Bible does say that, a man who walks away, it's like a man who walks away and he looks at himself in a mirror and walks away. He talks about this in James, and talks about how he forgets what manner of man he was. This is one who does or hears the Word but doesn't do it. And so this is exactly what it's talking about. When we say it's a mirror, it's that we look into this, and I'm not talking about some kind of goofy prosperity thing where I look at this and we can see a reflection of who we are to be by looking into the Word. And so when we look into the Word, we start seeing stuff about ourselves. We start seeing, like when the Word tells us to do something or not to do something, there's very specific reasons for that. I'll just be honest with you. One of the things I've seen in life is that following God has made me more successful. And the reason it's made me more successful is not because some kind of weird spiritual tree grew in my backyard or something like that, but because I started acting right. And in acting right, I stopped doing things that were hurting me. Yeah. Amen. Because you know what's funny is a lot of the world, they do things and they think that they're right in doing them. They think that their ideas, just because they had it, they think, well, this must be good because it makes me feel good, or this seems like a good idea and it's my idea, so it must be a great idea. Is there anybody in here who ever thought that their ideas were the greatest ideas in the world? But see, there's a lot of people that don't ever realize that their ideas just aren't the greatest ideas in the world. I realized that all of my ideas were the worst ideas in the world, and I thought they were all the greatest. Praise God. And so I learned just to do the opposite, at the very least, do the opposite of what I think is right, naturally speaking, and it'll be right. Well, there is a little more to that, because God balances us out. As His word gets in us and we get practically good, amen, there's other things that happen. You start straying away from this idea. You know, I don't have a desire to run around and curse at people all the time anymore. Sometimes I get a desire to curse at people, just like you do. But I suppress that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why? I decide not to act on that. What is that? That's walking in the Spirit. Yeah. Walking in the Spirit is when normally you would have punched that person, but this time you decided, because the word, you know what the word says, and your heart's convicted, and you decide, I'm not going to punch him. I'm going to bless him instead. You know, we had the other day, we were talking about somebody in a joking, like just a joking way. My wife and I were having a conversation. They're friends of ours. We were talking about, you know, everybody has quirks, right?
Yeah.
Certainly I have quirks. One of my physical quirks is I for some reason, I blink a lot. A lot of people will ignore it, or they'll try to ignore it. They'll never say anything around me, but I know that I do it. And so every once in a while, somebody will say something to me, say, hey, did you know you blink a lot? And I'll be like, yeah, I did know I blink a lot. And then usually I'll make a joke out of it or something like that. Or sometimes, you know, somebody might have a little tick or something like that. They'll do something their own way, or they'll walk, you know, we were just with a bunch of family and they said, you know, Caleb walks just like Uncle John. And it's like they would have never known that. They've never really seen each other, been around each other, but it's in them, you know. And so they just do things a certain way. Why was I talking about this?
We
were talking the other day. This is really good. We were talking the other day. So we were talking about this friend of ours. We were talking about something they did or something, and we were kind of making fun of it. And then not maliciously. We weren't like, oh, they're such losers, you know, and stuff like that. You know, how many know it's okay to joke about yourselves? It's okay to joke about each other a little bit, as long as you're not malicious and you're not hurting somebody, amen? But then I made this statement afterwards. I was like, oh, I repent for that. I shouldn't have said that. And then I said, oh, great. Now I'm gonna have to send them an offering or something like that, you know. And then Ezra says to me, she's like, is that how that works? I love that. She's like, is that how that works? And I said, well, kinda. I mean, you know, the idea is that you right a wrong, and a good way to right a wrong, in my opinion. So if you all want to wrong me and then send me an offering, that's just praise the Lord. But I'll accept that, and I will forgive you for it. That's a joke. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. But, you know, but there is truth to that, that when somebody, if you've wronged somebody, that you go make it right, that you be a blessing. And listen, sometimes we understand that the way to do that isn't by going to them and saying, you know, hey, I said this, this, and this, or I did this, this, and this. Sometimes I learned this as a new Christian, because when I first got saved, I was living for the Lord. I was like, man, you know what? I really want to be right. I want to be good in front of people. And so I go up to people. And I was like, hey, I was having bad thoughts about you. How many know that the person wasn't blessed at my apology? You know what I mean? There's a way to do things and there's a way not to do things. I was a baby Christian. I didn't know. Actually, Reverend Randy, I went up to him early on when we were first in the church. If you don't know Reverend Randy, well, he's a friend of mine. He's the one that takes me flying, glory to God. And one time we were when early on in the church, I couldn't stand him. I mean, when I saw him, I just wanted to fight. Like, it was just this, and it was all me. And then one day, I think it was Pastor Tim preached a message, and it convicted me to my bones. I mean, I was just like, oh man, I've been thinking wrong about this guy. I've been thinking really wrong about him, you know? And so I went to him and I said afterwards, and I said, Rev, I said, I just want to apologize. I mean, I've been having bad thoughts about you. And he's like, Well, he's like, well, did I do something, brother? He's like, you know, and now he's on the, now he's apologizing to me. And I'm like, no, it was all my fault. And see, in my mind, this was just a real big spiritual. What I should have done is just, you know, hey, man, you know what? I love you, and handed him a 20. That would have cured it all, amen? It would have saved a whole lot of awkwardness. We joke about it now, but you know, sometimes he was spiritual enough to not be offended by it. But how many know that there's some people that you could lose forever because they're like, well, I don't want to be around you then. Fine, you know, you have the thoughts about me. You're unstable. Get away from me. Amen. Praise the Lord. Walking in the Spirit is as much a choice as walking in love. Amen. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 13. And these are some scriptures that the Lord just continually is bringing me back to. Praise God. Is he watching right now? Oh, hey, Rev. Woo. Oh. But you know I love you. Glory to God. And he does. I'll tell you what. I honestly, he's at the very top of my friends list. I swear to God, that is no exaggeration. Of course, now I'm poor. You should have told me that until I find. Man, oh man. That is so funny. Praise God. But what a blessing. He's been such a blessing in my life. Do you know that honestly, and it was after that him and I formed a friendship. And again, this is why I'm glad that he was able to overlook it. Because in the early days of me being in the church, you know, I was as squirrely as all get out. I wasn't spiritual. I was very carnal and I was all over the place, up and down, left to right, backwards, forward. It didn't matter. I was just all over the place. And Rev was one of those people. He would meet me. We'd go to Wegmans to get sushi or we'd go get coffee and he would just talk to me, you know. And when I got filled with the Holy Ghost and started praying in tongues, he was the one that stood there and was praying with me. And he's been a great blessing to my life. Praise the Lord. And many others too. Amen. He's the reason Pastor Tim started come into family church and got connected and stuff like that. And Pastor Mike Anderson too. So you know, there's a lot of wonderful things that man has done for the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. I hope I did right by you, buddy. 1 Corinthians 13:1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. I love this scripture. Now, we're going to read all the way through this chapter, but I'm just going to tell you, I love this scripture. Because this is the start. I actually love these first few ones, maybe even the most, because this is the truth of it. You know, we look at the apex of spirituality is the ability to pray in tongues. But if I can pray in tongues, the tongues of men and of angels, but I don't love, I have become like sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. Who do you suppose that's to? The Lord. Man, I'm just going to tell you right now, God wants us to be in love. Yeah. Yeah. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, I mean, that's a pretty good thing. Yeah. And though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, faith to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. Look at this. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, I allow myself to be sacrificed, physically sacrificed for the gospel. But have not love, it profits me nothing. Now this is something we have to look at here. In all these things, these are at the top of what we would consider what anyone would do in a religious duty. Give all your money. I mean, is there anything greater that you can give than everything that you have? But that's what it's saying. How can you do that without love? Right. See, there's motives. Yeah. Why do we do what we do? What's behind what we do? And then, of course, we're about to read what love is. And so we're going to see what it is. And in that understanding, we can understand how maybe we can walk outside of that. Amen? Amen. Love suffers long and is kind. Oh, love suffers long. Long. It suffers long. What does that mean? Well, when somebody you just can't stand, is making it easy for you to not stand up. Love suffers long. And it's kind. What does it do? Well, I can't stand him. Well, I'm going to bless him anyways. It's kind. I'm going to say nice things to him, even though that I don't want to deal with them anymore. I'm going to bless them instead of tearing them down. Amen? Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up. I love this. I got that highlighted in my Bible. Love does not parade itself. We have all kinds of love parades out there. Ain't love. Why? Because love doesn't parade itself. Love doesn't have to be on show. It doesn't have to be displayed. Now, if I love my wife, you know, if I exhibit or if I do things, sometimes I just can't help it, but we don't go have a parade for each other. You know what I mean? We're not like dancing. My wife and I aren't dancing. Well, we might dance in the street, but we have our own little thing going on, you know, or something. We just get distracted by each other for a minute, but we're not having a parade and putting up banners and doing all. Why? Because it doesn't parade itself. And of course, this isn't talking about just parades, but it's that idea of that proud, you know, idea. Yeah, it's making a scene about it, making it, you know, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely. Oh, God, that Christians would learn that. We could stop right there, and we have enough to keep us going until Jesus comes. I love it. You know what? Love doesn't behave rudely if you're in leadership or if you're not. Love is kind whether you're in leadership or not. You know what I love about Jesus? There's scripture that tells us that he called himself the one who the Lord loved. Right? John, we know the Apostle John called himself the one that the Lord loved. And what do we see in that? We see an account of him literally laying his head on the breast of Jesus. That is the type of relationship the Lord had with at least John. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Now, we know that's not a weird thing, you know, and listen, you know, there is a societal thing going on too. Like, probably not going to be lounging around with you laying on my breast or, you know, your head on my chest or something like that. That would be. But the idea behind it, the idea that Jesus was so approachable and so touchable and that he didn't have to, you know, that he didn't have to hide himself from those that he loved, but he was being somebody who they could, that they felt they could be close with. Amen. Love does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not seek its own. Love is not trying to do things just because it wants what it's given out. Amen? Do you know how you give without love? You give to get and not give because it's on your heart to give. Do you know somebody, the woman who gave the last two mites that she had, the last two pennies that she had, that woman who gave that without any expectation she would ever give it back. And Jesus said, you gave more than all of them. Why? Because it wasn't even a thought in her mind. She was so moved by what the Lord was doing that she was like, here, just take everything I have. I couldn't give you enough. This is what I have. Take all of it because this is what I have. Now, listen, I'm not telling you that we have to give everything. But the point is why do we give? Why do we put in? There's corporations sometimes that will give to certain charities so they get a better tax donation. Do you give so you get a better tax donation? Shame on you. Yeah, not looking at anyone in particular. My eyes landed on Erin, but I know that I wasn't thinking about her. Amen. You see, sometimes you got to, yeah, I know you didn't, but I got to make sure, you know, praise the Lord. Glory to God. It doesn't seek its own. It's not provoked. It thinks no evil. You know, one day I just love this. You know who is a wonderful example of this is Pastor Katie. Pastor Katie Stallman in the Jamestown Church. I have seen her go from just transform into this, like, and I'm not saying she was in a bad place, but I'm just saying that I've just seen how her love has grown for people. And it just blesses me so greatly. I remember one day we were sitting at a table with a bunch of ministers, and I said something, and it wasn't that I meant it bad, but it sounded kind of rude, just kind of bad. And my heart was instantly smote. That's one way you know that you're living spiritually right there, is when you say something stupid or something that cuts somebody else down and your heart smote. But I said to her, I was like, Pastor Katie, and I said it in front of everybody. I said, I shouldn't have said that. I'm so, so sorry. And she just looked at me and she smiled and she shook and she said, I didn't think anything of it. She truly didn't. Yeah, I just love that. Like, that's, it doesn't, you know, it thinks no evil. She wasn't thinking I was being evil. Man, hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, we do that so much. Actually, that's a big thing in today's society. I'm sorry, but I'm getting into some stuff. I just feel like I got to go. But there's such a big thing in today's society to always judge someone else's motives. Well, certainly, this is why. You know, I don't care if you believe agree with somebody politically or not. Do you know there's a lot of people that disagree with me politically that do things because they truly believe that it's the best? I'm not saying every motive or everything that's done. You know, there's some radicals. Real radical people on the opposite side of the fence. I'm not even going to say their names, but there's some real radical people on the opposite side of the fence, but they truly believe. Now, it's misguided. Yeah. It's not truth. They need Jesus. They need to know the truth. Yeah. But see, we're not going to get it if we just hate them. Right. But that's exactly what I'm talking about. They fully believe that they're doing what's right. Yeah. Yeah. Amen? And so we have to watch those things. Christians, we have to be better than that. We have to be bigger than that. Just because they are going to come up to this standard, we still need to come up to a high standard. Amen? Does not rejoice in iniquity or sin, but rejoices in the truth. That's what true love does. True love will tell the truth. Even when it's not what everybody wants to hear. Even when it's not what they want to hear. Amen? Glory to God. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. It never fails. True love never fails. Glory to God. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away with. Or done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. That's a very, very important scripture principle to understand. Christians, there needs to be a point when we put away childish things. What do I mean? Childish things as Christians. You know, Jesus loves me. That's great. We know that. Jesus, there's lots of these principles that Christians come in with, you know, like one of those things is do not judge, you know, but we better be people who can judge. We better be people who can judge rightly. Right. Why? Because the scripture demands it. Yeah. You know, baby Christians are the ones say, oh, don't judge me. Well, listen, we should be able to judge. Now, it doesn't mean that we pass condemnation onto someone and say, you know, the Bible does say that it's good to pass judgment, but to make sure the plank is out of your own eye first. Amen? Glory to God. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I am known. And now abide faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. So what's the greatest thing? Love. Amen. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to call our types of people out. What I mean is our kinds of churches. Pentecostal churches or charismatic churches or churches in our kind of camp often claim to be we're the most spiritual. We look at ourselves in pride, we're the most spiritual. This is a question I posed to a close friend of mine. I said, we're supposed to be very spiritual people, yet we can't stick to the very basis of what our entire faith is built on, and that's love. Why do a brother and sister hate each other? Why are people behaving rudely? Why are people just going around tearing down someone else? Jesus never did that. You know, the only ones that Jesus attacked were the ones that were wrongfully attacking him, and they were doing it trying to ruin what he was doing. And what he was doing was of God. They were trying to tear apart. Listen, if somebody is helping people, why are we tearing them apart? Right. We're passing judgment. They don't know. I know, but they don't know. That's not God. That's not God. Amen? Right. Praise the Lord. We should be able to love one another. We should be able to serve one another. Everybody. You know, one of the things that I see as a minister of the gospel, that my job for serving has not been done away with. It's only started. Praise God. Serving isn't something that goes away when you get to a certain level of leadership or something like that. Jesus knelt down and washed the feet of his disciples, and we think that we can't do the same. Well, I mean, we don't have to start some kind of foot washing service. We ain't going to do that. Praise the Lord. Even though Scott wanted to start a ministry doing that. I'm just kidding. Hallelujah. We were joking about some things. Praise God. But, we don't have to do that. We don't have to start some foot washing ministry. It wasn't what they did that mattered as much as why they did what they did. And he was showing us. Amen. Praise the Lord. He says the greatest will become the servant of all.
That's right.
He'll become the least. And so we think about that. How much do I want to be served? Well, the more that I want to be served, the more I don't realize, the more of a baby of a Christian I am, or not a Christian at all. Amen? The very principles of our faith are built on these things. Turn with me to Galatians 5:18. Galatians 5:18. Hallelujah. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Praise God. The works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions. That's a big one. Mm-hmm. That's just the desire to put self forward.
Yeah.
Oh, it's my turn. I need to. It's mine. This is about my rights here. Dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's a big one to me. The Lord reminds me of that scripture all the time. Self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. Self-control. I am a person who has to learn self-control. Constantly. I have to self-control. I would imagine you probably are too. Amen? Self-control is a very big thing with God. Amen? Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now, let's look at those last two scriptures there real quick. Again, those who are Christ, I actually crossed out have because I don't believe that word's in there. It really is to crucify. They do crucify continually. And those who are Christ do crucify the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Yeah. How do you know if you're living in the Spirit? You're walking in the Spirit. What's walking in the Spirit? Not walking according to the flesh.
Right.
Crucifying the flesh. So, you know, I was telling you, I started doing this thing, and the specific thing with my diet, I started changing it, and I started doing it not even to lose weight, but for the purpose of just crucifying the flesh. Why? Because it gotten out of control in that area. See, that's what we don't do enough, is we don't focus on those things and just crucify them. Just nail them down. Listen, crucifixion was not a comfortable thing. It hurts the flesh. It's something that you don't want to do. It's something you don't feel like doing. But you crucify it.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
You crucify it. You nail it down. Uh-huh. See, this is the problem, is we have gotten, as people, we have gotten to this place where we don't teach about crucifying the flesh as much. We don't, the Christianity has embraced all this, like, this me stuff, make you feel better, do it for you, and do it, you know. I learned a long time ago that I probably wasn't going to get any kind of big inheritance here on earth. You know, there was things that I want. My grandpa, when he passed, there was things that he had that I would have loved to have. but they weren't going to come to me. And you know what I did? Didn't care.
Yeah.
I literally have grown to the point where I didn't care. Nobody gave me any large sum of money. Grandpa wasn't stashing and put aside and said, here, give this to Jeff. It didn't happen.
No.
And you know what? I didn't care.
Right.
It doesn't matter. Why? Because God's my supply.
Yeah. Right.
God's my provision.
Amen.
All this stuff is going to burn up. Everything you think is important
yeah.
is going to burn up someday.
Right.
Amen? It doesn't mean you can't have nice things and God doesn't want you to be blessed and stuff like that. He certainly will. But it literally is all going to burn up.
Yes.
It's going to mean nothing. It'll mean so much to you. You would fight tooth and nail for it. And then someday it's going to be thrown in the fire and it's going to turn to ash.
Yeah.
Not even ash. It'll burn so hot, probably it'll just completely disappear.
Right.
Amen.
Wow.
The more time you spend with God, or the more you spend time with God, the better, more effective human you'll become.
Right.
Folks, we have to know this. We have to understand living spiritually isn't just it's not just doing these goofy, and when I say goofy, I don't mean it's goofy to pray in tongues or something like that. I'm certainly not saying that. I'm not saying that to have a Holy Ghost meeting or something like that, that's goofy. I'm not implying that at all. What I'm saying is what people in the world could look at and say, that's weird or that's, I don't understand that. Surely there's things that the world is going to look at and think is foolishness. I don't have a problem with that. You know, if all of a sudden the Spirit started moving and I went for a run or went for a dance or something like that. Praise the Lord, I would do that and I wouldn't care who's around when I do it. But the point that I'm trying to make is that there's more practicality to Scripture than what we sometimes realize. We can be truly spiritual people, but be very practical people too. In fact, the thing that I've seen is the more I get closer with God, the more practical He makes me. Is that the right word to use, practical? Stable and practical. It's simple to live. You know, and so that's the thing. We have to understand too, there's principles here, you know, especially in Galatians, there's principles there. There are people that don't live according to these principles. You certainly know lots of them. Well, when people live in the world according to principles that are against what God teaches, they're going to have fruit that we can't always stop. We can't always, you know, we can't, and I want to encourage you because we're going to pray for just a few minutes. We're going to take just a few minutes to pray, and that's okay. We're going to do that together because I think that it's important that we continually do that. But we're going to have to understand that there we can't change all things according to what we want. We can't break other people's will is what I'm saying. But what we can do, the Bible says, is make power available. And that's what our heart needs to be, is that we can change these things in our own lives, but we're going to make power available for other things. Amen. And so as we come to this, let's come with, sometimes in prayer, you'll get a very practical leading to do something. Go do this. We were in the store. It wasn't too long ago. And there's this guy I knew that he was in there, and I saw him, and he kind of was telling me a story. He went through a hard time. And then we kind of met each other in line. We went through the self-checkout, you know, where there's a bunch of checkouts. And just as we were standing there in line, you know, in the inside of me, the Spirit goes, go buy a gift card for this much and give it to him. And so at first I thought, it's kind of weird, but I was like, no, I'm going to follow that because I know. And so I went and did it and found out that it just blessed him so much, you know. And see, that's what I'm talking about. We need to be people that can work in this natural world by doing things that we're not waiting for money trees that grow. We're not waiting for, you know, God to rain down Ferraris upon us. Amen. We seek Him and He will make things. He'll bring things together for us. Amen. Practically. Hallelujah.